24 chapters. Ezekiel is only able to say what the Lord told him to say. But he loosens his mouth at the last of the last verse there of 24, verse 27. It said, at that time your mouth will be open and you'll speak with him and will no longer be silent. So you will be a sign to them and they will know that I am the Lord. What was it, 66 times that phrase has been used throughout Ezekiel? And they will know that I am the Lord. He's proven to them. So the first 24 had to deal with the Israelites. Now he's going to deal with the nations that put trouble on. You know, they sat back and the whole time that God through Ezekiel was putting his wrath upon the children of Israel and Jerusalem and the temple and all the city was destroyed, burnt, everything carried away. They went down into captivity. Why did the Lord deal with them that way? They wouldn't listen, would they? They chose to do what? Go other directions. Some of them went to Egypt. Some of them done this. Some of them done that and stuff. And they thought that because the temple of the Lord and the Ark of the Covenant and all the things of the presence of the Lord was in Jerusalem, they were exempt. God may destroy everything around them, but he wouldn't destroy his own house. Wrong. And we've seen them literally destroy that now. And so these other countries round about, he's going to deal with them now for they've had 40 good years, or I meant longer than 40 good years. They've had many good years that they have not had anything to worry about with the children of Israel because of the punishment that God was putting upon them. But listen what he says here. The word of the Lord came to me and said, son of man, set your face against the Ammonites and prophesy against them. Say to them, hear the word of the sovereign Lord. This is what the Lord says. Because you said, aha, over my sanctuary, when it was desecrated, and over the land of Israel, when it was laid waste, and over the people of Judah, when they went into exile, therefore I'm going to give you to the people of the east as a possession. They will set up their camps, and they'll pitch their tents among you. They will eat your fruits and drink your milk, and I will turn Rabbah into a pasture for camels, and Ammon into a resting place for sheep. Then you will know that I am the Lord. And so, in dealing with the Ammonites here, he's putting them in their perspective of what these nations did. And what the Lord was judging the Ammonites about was the fact that they celebrated the fall of Jerusalem and the captivity of the children of Israel down into Babylonia. And so they were being judged for praising the desecration of the temple and all the things that happened there within their land. And he's saying to them here that they will set up their camps and pitch their tents among you. They will eat your fruit and drink your milk. And all the blessings of the fertile place that Israel was, what God say about it when he gave it to the children of Israel? The land flowing with milk and honey. Wonderful, wonderful place. Most fertile land in all the country. And God gave it to them, and they abused and misused it. Turned away from God, went back to Egypt, rather go into Babylonian captivity there. And verse 6, he said, "For this is what the sovereign Lord says. Because you clapped your hands and you stamped, or we call it stomp your feet, rejoicing with all the malice of your hearts against the land of Israel. Therefore, because they celebrated, because they made a big deal out of Jerusalem and its destruction." Verse 7, he said, "Therefore I will stretch out my hand against you and give you as plunder to the nations. I will cut you off from the nations and exterminate you from the countries. I will destroy you, and you will know that I am the Lord." He is going to prove to every nation and kindred of people at that time that he is the Lord. And you think about the small territory in comparison to the world as a whole today. The day and the time that the children of Israel are doing this. Yeah, well, they were into the millions of people. But we're into what? Billions upon billions upon billions of people in our world today. But when God renders judgment upon this land, what's he going to do? He's going to let everybody know, "I am the Lord." You know, he's going to prove himself to these individuals. Now, the thing that amazes me here, he said, "You're going to take your pasture that you had, these fat, fertile fields out there, filled with good livestock, cattle and stuff, and they'll bring from the east their cattle, their camels, and take over your fields and stuff." And the fishing industry, the ports that they had there, all the things that some of these places have, God going to overthrow and deal with them concerning that. But when he refers to the fact that children of the east, he's talking about the Chaldeans, and he's talking about the Arabians that's going to come in and take possession of these places and use what God had give them in their hearts and their lives. But when he said, "I'm going to cut you off from the nations, I'm going to exterminate you from the countries, and I will destroy you, and you will know that I am the Lord." God intends to do what? Wipe them out. Why? They had the opportunity to do what? If they would have done what the Lord told them to do when they went across Jordan and possessed the land over there, they would have wiped out all those that lived in the land. But they got to a point in a place where they could see pretty women, they could see fine linen, they could see good this, good that, stuff. And they started following other gods when they went out to these other people. God's going to judge them for it. Let's see about the Moabites in verse 8. You know, the Moabite's people is the ones when they were traveling Jericho going on in to claim the land, they asked permission to travel through Moab. Right? You remember that? The Moabite's people said, "No, you're not coming this way." So he had to take that whole group of Israelites and go around the Moabite's people and stuff. He got away with it with the people, but he didn't get away with it with God, did he? God keeping records. This is what the sovereign Lord says. "Because Moab and Seir said, 'Look, the house of Judah has become like all the other nations. Therefore, I will expose the flank of Moab, beginning at its frontier towns, Beth Jesimoth, Baal Meon, and Kirithaim, the glory of that land.'" Kirithaim was the glory of that land there, and it was originally originated, that's the word I'm trying to say, over in Crete, and that's where they got their name. But they were either a clan of the Philistines that had broken off, or possibly a group of that come up out of Asia somewhere or another. We're not sure about them, but they were closely intermixed with Palestine, and they're oftentimes going to be mentioned in what we're doing here. So God says, I will give Moab over along to the Ammonites, to the people of the east as a possession, so that the Ammonites will not be remembered among them. And I will inflict punishment on Moab. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Verse 12, let's see what he does to Edom here, as their blood brothers of the Jews here, and both nations descended from Isaac, and Edom shared its northern border with Israel, and the two nations always were in conflict. What are they doing today? They're still fighting today, aren't they? Absolutely. And he said, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Because Edom took revenge on the house of Judah, and because very guilty and became very guilty by doing so, therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will stretch out my hand against Edom and kill its men and their animals. I will lay it waste, and from Teman to Dedan, they will fall by the sword. I'll take vengeance on Edom by the hand of my people Israel, and they will deal with Edom in accordance with my anger and my wrath. And they will know my vengeance, declares the sovereign Lord. So as he's dealing with these and the hatred that's in their heart, Ezekiel was saying the entire country is going to be destroyed of the Edomites and the land that they possessed. They were herdsmen and prided themselves in pasture land, raising of good stock. And he said, I'll stretch out my hand against Edom, kill its men and their animals. They kill their animals, he killed their means of support, didn't he? That was their living, being herdsmen. Let's look at Philistia, the Palestinians, verse 15. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Because the Philistines acted in vengeance and took vengeance with malice into their hearts, and with ancient hostility sought to destroy Judah. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I'm about to stretch out my hand against the Philistines, and I will cut off the Kerethites and destroy those remaining along the coast. I will carry out great vengeance on them and punish them in my wrath. They will know that I am the Lord when I take vengeance on them. So the Moabitish people here, the Edomites, the Philistines, God knows what part they played in hindering his people from being what God intended for them. He never intended any of these things to be. He said to them, go in and possess the land that I will what? Give you? Isn't that what he said? He didn't say you got to go in there and fight for you. You ain't got to go in there. I'm going to fight for you. All you got to do is obey me. Do what I tell you to do. And things. But they lost faith. And then they didn't follow him to the letter of what he told them that they were to do. When they left a few hanging around, they exposed them to their Baal gods and their worshiping. Everything got out of kilter. But now there's a little place called Tyre we fixing to talk about. It's an interesting place. You got to know a little bit about the background of Tyre. Because its back was to the ocean or to the water. And out in, off from the shore a piece was an island. And it's kind of like our people today. You hear them, and there's all sorts of islands, and there's all sorts of places where people go to bash in the sun and spend their money and stuff. But this tower right here, you know, it was the vacation spot of the day in their time, I guess is the best way for me to say it. So that island, very prosperous. A lot of trade, a lot of commerce, a lot of things happened on the main island over here. And they prided themselves, and when the Egyptian ships or any of the others came backers and forth, they were the first one to get to look at the goods that these ships was carrying to market to trade. And they bought and traded and done, got the very best of it. You know, and the rest went on down to other seaport towns till they got rid of their wares and went back reloading and come back and stuff. But Tyre was very secure. The island out there was very secure because of the water between the mainland and where they were. And with the water being to their back, the Philistines, the Babylonians, the Edomites, the Moabites, all these folks, they always, from place to place, everywhere they went, they cut the people off from their supplies. Just like you hear on the news right now, what's going on over there. They're trying to get food and stuff and dropping supplies and stuff into these people. What are these nations trying to do? Starve the other one out and stuff. That's what was taking place here. But they couldn't starve Tyre out too easy because Tyre had its back to the water. And they could boat in and bring in the supplies that was needed to sustain them. And it took 15 years from the time the Babylonians and their helpers went in to start to take the city before Tyre ever fell. 15 years. They built ramps up into the city. They done all kinds of things. See, you know, before in some of the cities, they closed off their aqueduct where they couldn't get water into, and they didn't have water. They didn't have to worry about it. They had the ocean to their back, and they had plenty to sustain them. But God didn't relent. He allowed the Philistines, the Babylonians, and their friends to keep hammering and hammering and hammering for 15 years until finally Tyre fell. Let's see what he says about here in verse, where did I quit at? 13. I will take vengeance on Edom by the hand of my people Israel. And they will deal with Edom in accordance with my anger and my wrath, and they will know my vengeance, declares the sovereign Lord. This is what the Lord says about the Philistines. Because the Philistines acted in vengeance and took revenge with malice in their hearts and with ancient hostility sought to destroy Judah. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I'm about to stretch out my hand against the Philistines, and I will cut off the Kerethites and destroy their remaining and destroy those remaining along the coast. I will carry out great vengeance on them and punish them in my wrath. Then they will know that I am the Lord. And what they had done there and their hearts and their lives. But all these nations, because they once had been a friend to the Israelites, was now an enemy to all of Judah. See what he says about Tyre here, chapter 26. In the 11th year, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, because Tyre has said of Jerusalem, aha, the gate to the nations is broken. And its doors, you notice he said the gate to the nations, plural, is broken. And its doors, plural, have swung open to me. Now that she lies in ruin, I will prosper. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I am against you, O Tyre, and I will bring many nations against you, like the sea casting up its waves. They will destroy the walls of Tyre. They'll pull down her towers. I will scrape away her rubble, and I will make her a bare rock. Out in the sea, she will become a place to spread fish nets. That island out there, it'll become nothing more than just a good place to fish. Out amongst the rocks there. Out in the sea, she will become a place to spread fish nets. For I have spoken, declares the Sovereign Lord. She will become plunder for the nations. And her settlement on the mainland will be ravaged by the sword. Then they will know that I am the Lord. He said, people on the mainland, the folks out in the island out there, basking in all the tourism and stuff that's going on, the money that was rolling in, everything. God says, they were sitting back laughing at all these others and what God had done to them. They thought they had it made because they had the sea to their back, plenty of protection from the water and stuff. But when they said, aha, we are the only one that ain't going to taste his wrath. Wrong. And he told them what he was going to do to them. This is what the Sovereign Lord says in verse 7. From the north I am going to bring against Tyre Nebuchadnezzar. There comes the Babylonians. King of Babylon, king of kings, with horses and chariots, with horsemen and a great army. He will ravage your settlements on the mainland with a sword. And he will set up siege work against you. He's going to build a ramp up to your walls. He's going to raise his shield against you. He will direct the blows of his battering rams against your walls and demolish your towers with his weapons. His horses will be so many that they will cover you with dust. Your walls will tremble at the noise of the war horses, wagons, and chariots. When he enters your gates, as men enters a city whose walls have been broken through. Does that sound like they're going to get by, be exempt? Does that sound like their great fortified walls that they built across the front of this city is going to hold back the Babylonian army? Nope. Does it sound like God's going to do to Tyre what he's done to all these others, the Moabites and Edomites and all the different nations of people? He goes on to say here in this here that the hoofs of his horses will trample all your streets. He will kill your people with a sword, and your strong pillars will fall to the ground. They will plunder your wealth. They will loot your merchandise. They will break down your walls and demolish your fine houses and throw your stones, timbers, and rubble into the sea. I'll put an end to your noisy songs, and the music of your harps will be heard no more. All that fine whining and dining and doing out there on that island, and all these people are gathering and having a good old time. God's not leaving one stone unturned here. He intends to destroy everything and throw all of it into the sea. Verse 13, he said, I will put an end to your noisy songs, and the music of your harps will be heard no more. I will make you a bare rock. You will become a place to spread fish nets. You will never be rebuilt. For I, the Lord, have spoken, declares the sovereign Lord. They just thought they was going to get by, didn't they? How many people today are gambling on their eternity? How many people today are sitting back smirking at the mention of the name of the Lord and the things that happen? Oh, I've heard that all my life, you know. Y'all silly bunch, just go on down there and act. One of these days, what are they going to know? That he is the Lord. And he's going to do what he said he's going to do. How did he say he's going to destroy this whole world this time? By fire, didn't he? Yeah. He said here, not only will I destroy you, but you'll never be rebuilt. One of them hurricanes comes through, goes through one of them islands down there or on the coastline of our country here in America today. The next morning, what are we doing? Starting to build it back, aren't we? Cleaning our way and getting things where we put it back. Why? That's our living, wasn't it? That's our who we are, especially those that are in business along those places. Sooner they can get the doors back open, the sooner the money will start rolling back in. Those casinos that have the money to make the repairs and stuff back, isn't it amazing how fast they can get them doors back open on them things? After one of those terrible storms has come through and done all the damage. All right. He said here that then all the princes of the coast will step down from their thrones and lay aside their robes and take off their embroidered garments, clothed with terror. They'll sit on the ground, trembling every moment, appalled at you. Then they will take up a lament concerning you and say to you, what they going to do? They're going to pick off that fine linen and them fancy clothes and that robe and all the stuff, you know, and find them sitting on the ground. The scripture says here, why? Because they're scared to death. They will sit on the ground trembling every moment. They're appalled at what the Lord is doing. Then they'll take up a lament. Here's what that lament says. How you are destroyed, O city of renown. Tyre was once a beautiful, wonderful seacoast town. A lot of vacationers and stuff. The island out there was always filled with people. He said, O city of renowned people by men of the sea. You are a power of the sea. You and your citizens, you put your terror on all who live there. Now the coastlands tremble on the day of your fall. The islands in the sea are terrified at your collapse. Boy, they're scared of what they see that's taking place. It took 15 years to do it, but every year that ticked by, they could see that they were getting closer and closer and closer to being destroyed. And when they come into these surrounding places that supported Tyre there, and kind of like many of our large cities today, like Houston and Dallas and New Orleans and other places, people come into the town to work, but they go back outside to live and stuff. And so those on the outside, what was, when those horsemen and stuff come through with them swords, they were the first to die. Don't you know Tyre? Tyre figured then, worked on them. next city, the next city, the next. All their helpers is what being defeated, till they find themselves all by themselves behind these great walls, and then here they come and build a ladder to get over the walls and get inside the city. Destroy. They keep bagging up to their backs to the water. And the city is destroyed. The rubble is found. It's thrown into the sea. The timber, everything. They're witnessing all this, and they're seeing all this. And then at the end, what do? They got down off their high horse, off their throne, pulled off their royal apparel, come out and sit on the ground, and begin to tremble at what they saw the Lord is doing. 15 years they witnessed that in their hearts and their lives concerning that. Verse 19, he said, this is what the sovereign Lord says. When I make you a desolate city, like cities no longer inhabited, and when I bring the ocean depths over you, and its vast waters cover you, then I will bring you down with those who go down to the pit. To the people of long ago, I'll make you dwell in the earth below, as an ancient rule, with those who go down to the pit, and you will not return or take your place. In the land of the living, I will bring you to a horrible end, and you will be no more. You will be sought, but you will never again be found, declares the Lord. You want to cause a, what do they call it? Assuming where all the water comes in, and I can't say that word, but whatever it is, you know what I'm talking about. He said that I'll bring the ocean depths over you, and its vast waters will cover you. And what he's dealing with here, I'll bring you down with those who go down to the pit, the people of long ago, ever loved those that had been sentenced to an eternal damnation because of their rejection of God. To the people of long ago, I'll make you dwell in the earth below as in ancient ruins with those who go down to the pit, and you will not return or take your place in the land of the living. I'll bring you to a horrible end, and you will be no more. You will be sought, but you will never again be found, declares the sovereign Lord. Is God going to do what he said he's going to do? You better believe it. And he's going to carry out his word. And I like the verse of scripture Brother Ernie refers to y'all. I have not seen, ear has not heard what God has prepared for those who what?
Love the Lord.
Love the Lord. But I have not seen or ear has not heard what God has prepared for those who have rejected the Lord. They are part of that scenario too, don't you think? God's going to, people tell me all the time, Brother Larry, you believe that that God that you say is so loving and kind and caring going to send me to hell? No, you do it yourself by rejecting him in your heart and your life. Thank y'all for your faithfulness. Rain has been, I didn't realize when I come back this afternoon it's going to do this tonight. But, you know, a lot of people needing it with the corn and stuff is going. Any question, any comment, anything you want to share? I like y'all. You're a quiet bunch. Yep, you do good. Anything I can share with you? I can tell you now, I won't be here Wednesday night unless I need to come home, and I'll do that in 45 minutes. I can be back. But when I do come back next Sunday night, we're going to skip a couple of chapters, and he married this one, and that one done this, and that one done. I ain't going to try to pronounce all them names. Now, if they'd have said Bill and George and Tom and Dick and Harry, I'd give it a whirl, but I ain't going to waste my... I didn't half see what I was trying to see tonight, and it's all blurred out, so I apologize for stumbling over some of them things, but I don't know why today's been a day. I had two or three days that I thought it cleared itself up, but today ain't one of them. Any other thought? Any comment? Thing you want to share? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we've had to share your word together. Just asking now, God, that we'll realize that when you pronounce your wrath, all the world will know that you are the Lord. Bless our sick folks tonight. There's so many things and so many hearts and lives, so many families involved. Just ask God your grace and mercy on each and every one. I pray now, Father, that we return to a busy week this week. We'll use every opportunity that's available to us to share the good news of Jesus. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.